AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for a big midweek card in the Scottish Premiership tomorrow. Martin O'Neill confirms the game against Dundee will be his final game in charge before Wilfred Nancy comes to take over. Danny Rule says he needs players who understand what it means to play for Rangers, and Callum McGregor refuses to be drawn on the prospect of returning to the Scotland fold for next summer's World Cup. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Marvin Bartley and Gordon Dalziel.
Yeah, after excitement of the weekend, domestically and the Scottish Cup, Gordon, then the Scottish Cup draw as well. We're looking at a good card tomorrow night. Five important games there. There are a few teams in there needing a result, especially down the bottom when you look at St Mirren and Kilmarnock really sliding down that table. You're okay, Marv. You've got a night off. At least you won't get beat.
They're not hard results, mate.
And then you're looking Dundee United, Rangers. And will it eventually be Martin O'Neill's last game at Celtic? Watch this space.
I think it's been brilliant, Martin O'Neill coming in and the job he's done. And it's quite a fitting way for him to go out as well with a home game. Yes, people speaking about maybe him being the last one at Easter Road. But I think he came in, obviously the first game was home to Falkirk, and going out, you know, home to Dundee. I think the fans will give him a massive, massive round of applause for the job him and his staff have done. And like you said, he can sail off into the sunset after it.
0141-951-1025. That's the number as always, so give us a call and let us know what you are thinking. We've got it. Confirmation. Or about as close to confirmation as we can get from the horse's mouth, remember, because Celtic keep their cards close to their chest on these subjects. But Martin O'Neill's the one that's been updating everyone. He was the one that said Hibs would be his final game. He was the one that then said Hibs would not be his final game. And today he says definitely his final game in charge against Dundee tomorrow. So what do you make of that? Is it going to be sad to say goodbye? Is it going to be hard to let him go? Of course, any time a new manager comes in, it should be exciting, but you've got a fans favourite who's already there and has done well. How do you feel about it, Celtic fans? Wilfred Nancy walks into quite a schedule as well when you look at the fixtures coming up. Incidentally, a parting gift, some silverware for him. Martin O'Neill was named the Premiership Manager of the Month today as well, so a nod there to how well he's done recently. But yeah, all your thoughts generally. Maybe a midweek December home tie against Dundee, don't mean to be disrespectful, but maybe that's not the most exciting fixture. Maybe this has breathed new life into it. It's of course a fixture which, if the other results go your way, could see Celtic top of the table, 8 points behind when Martin O'Neill took over, and the chance to go top tomorrow. So all your thoughts, please, Celtic fans, on how this has played out, how it's been communicated by Martin O'Neill, your thoughts on him leaving, your thoughts on the timing, everything, everything that goes into it. Please give us a call right now on 0141-951-1025. Rangers fans, Danny Rule's clearly quite a quiet guy. He doesn't say loads of outrageous things in his press conferences, but I get the feeling he's starting to just let his feelings be known, let his opinions get out there, particularly about the squad. You look at some of the things he said today, some of his body language, says he needs players who understand what it means, what it takes to play for Rangers. He was asked how many he would need and all that sort of stuff. So is that music to your ears? What does he need to do? What can he do now until the January window and then thereafter? Where do you see this squad heading? Because it was another weekend, clearly, where you were disappointed. So many of you tried to get through on the phones last night about the disappointment from the weekend. So feel free, if you couldn't get through, to add your thoughts there. Oliver Antman, I know he's not necessarily been pulling up trees, but he's now out injured for a few weeks as well, so adding to Rangers' personnel issues. So much to get through. Fantastic game between two form sides, between Falkirk and Motherwell tomorrow as well. So there's loads happening. 0141-951-1025. I'm just raging that he stole my joke, because I was lining it up perfectly to say finally, I don't fancy Livy to lose tomorrow because
wow,
you're not playing.
Wow, wow. We were very lucky, actually.
Your reserves playing.
Did we what? Sorry? What are you giving it?
Your reserves playing. I'll be honest, and I don't say this lightly, because anything that makes you miserable generally makes me happy. I'm starting to feel for you because you're losing pretty much all the time. You don't need me to tell you. You're barely deserving to lose any of the games, and you're really close within them.
Yeah, really, really close, especially Sunday's game. We actually performed really well in the first half and we're definitely the better team, and then, you know, gets to the end of the game and somebody switches off. Unfortunately for Graham Carey, he slips over, the ball's put into the box and ends up in the back of our net. And when I saw it hit the back of the net, obviously you're gutted so late in the game. And then it's Nicky Devlin, the man who's constantly sending me pictures last season because I said Aberdeen would not finish. Was it not finishing the top six? Mm-hmm. And he gave me all of that, and then, yeah, he scored. So he's been messaging me quite a lot. But no, in terms of the team, listen, it's one of those things that, yeah, it's been a tough run, but we're only 3 points away from 10th place. And that's the thing that, you know, the boys can hang on to.
I noticed Nicky Devlin really blew apart this notion that you don't celebrate against your former club.
Wow.
Oh, no. Knee slides, the lot.
On AstroTurf as well. Honestly, man, I spoke to him yesterday and he's like, oh, my knees were sticking to my bed sheet. So that will serve you right. To be honest, a couple of people said that he was being booed by the home support. So it's one of those things, isn't it? Like we said, fair play. Listen, if you're going to get booed and you score a goal that late in the game, then you deserve to celebrate. No?
Night off for Marvin, but a really good card, Gordon. Mm-hmm. In so many ways. You talk about teams like Rangers and, you know, desperately needing a win, and if Hearts have now started to drop points, Motherwell and Falkirk both in really good form. That's before we get to the fact that, as we said, Martin O'Neill, the Martin O'Neill factor at Celtic Park, there's so much to look forward to.
You could make a case for nearly every game tomorrow night. You know, the importance of it. Obviously, you look at starting at the top, Aberdeen, St Mirren. St Mirren desperate for a result as well, sitting down there in 11th. Aberdeen try to climb the table. You've got Celtic, Dundee. Obviously, Dundee coming off a great result. Celtic, the Martin O'Neill situation there's got to be very emotional. Then you've got Dundee United, Rangers. Rangers really poor at the weekend, but got a result. And we had a lot of calls, angry calls from Rangers fans. And then the two teams I would love to be at the game tomorrow night, Falkirk, Motherwell. It'll be a classic. And then Hearts, who need to get back to winning ways against another team that needs a result. So the teams that need the result, Marv, you're in good company.
Yeah, in really good company, Dan. No, listen, hopefully Aberdeen can get the win and to keep St Mirren down there with us. And obviously, you know, we want Hearts to win tomorrow. It pains me to say that as well, to beat Kilmarnock. But like you said, listen, it's so tight down there, but some huge games tomorrow. But I think Falkirk v Motherwell, I think you're right. That'd be a really, really good tactical battle.
Okay, 0141-951-1025. This was the update you were waiting for today, Celtic fans. Listen to the words of Martin O'Neill, then give us all your thoughts on it. We were all in the press room wondering, how are we going to ask him again? How do you keep rewording this question about, is it your last game? He saw it coming, he just jumped in straight away and provided this update.
And you will be relieved to know that this is definitely it for tomorrow evening. So, yeah, I've been assured by the board. The new man will come in. I'm not sure that in terms of the process, but I know that this is definitely my last game. I'm delighted. Obviously, I said on Sunday it was the fear of failing that was a concern. But if you don't take the opportunity, it'll never be presented to you again. And the opportunity to come back here and manage, 25 years after I started was remarkable, really, in that sense. So if you're asking me, yeah, delighted that he asked me back. And up until today, delighted with the outcome.
And a Manager of the Month award as well on his way out the door. Barry is a Celtic fan in Wishaw. How's it going, Barry?
How you doing, Gordon? How you doing, panel?
All good here.
Barry?
It's been a while since I was last on your show, but my point tonight is I'm very disappointed in the way the board have handled the Martin O'Neill affair, because through all the interviews that I've seen him, post-game interviews and that, he's always been asked, Do you want the job in a long-term capacity? And rather than saying anything to upset Dermot Desmond, the owner, he's always played the neutral man. He's come in, steadied the ship from a team that was lacking confidence. And when you look at how Hearts had started off, all of a sudden, the magic has come back. The fans want Martin O'Neill to stay. And I know that there's the getting a manager in a full-time capacity, but Martin O'Neill was leaving the door open. And yet again, another contract style of Celtic, lackluster, and putting themselves into a cul-de-sac. Well, I'm of the opinion, see if something's no broke, you don't try and fix it. Martin O'Neill came in, steadied the ship, and all of a sudden, I don't know this new guy. I'm not saying he's successful or not successful, but see in a couple of weeks' time, and there's a cup final, a league cup final, right? If this goes pear-shaped, I mean, it's only to the board to blame yet again, and you would think that they would have learned some lessons and tried to play the wise game and saying, here's Martin O'Neill come in. Let's, when they brought Martin O'Neill, they could have turned around and said to him, Martin, we want you to come in, steady the ship, and if results are going great and the team start performing, would you be open to be at least here until January or the end of the season? And I'm sure Martin O'Neill would have turned and says, I'll take it to the end of the season, because Martin O'Neill loves the club.
I mean, it was never the plan, though, was it? And no. Martin O'Neill sounds, maybe he's putting on a brave face, but Martin O'Neill sounds a lot more comfortable with it than lots of the Celtic fans, like Barry, and understandable.
Yeah, and Barry's not alone, because I was on the show on Sunday and we were inundated with calls, and the big one seemed to be, let the new manager wait and give Martin O'Neill to the cup final, right? I get that, because Martin O'Neill's been absolutely brilliant. Gordon, I don't know what goes on behind the scenes, right? But I'm sure that Martin O'Neill probably has had that conversation somewhere. You know, whether it's just sort of a, not too serious, just a passing conversation of, how do you see it go? If you go well, how do you see it ending up for you? Would you be interested? Are we going to put you in the running? He might have had that conversation. I'm not so sure as much as Barry. I do think Martin O'Neill loves the club, everything about it. He's got to go out tomorrow night. What a send-off he's got to get from these Celtic fans. But I'm not too sure Martin had that desire maybe to stay to next season, because
I think now, though, he would have
maybe he's got that, the fact that it's a cup final coming up, and he would love to go and, listen, St Mirren still got to say in it, go and win another trophy and stuff. But if you're Celtic, you've identified who the manager's got to be. Martin knew from the start, as I say, he might have had that conversation, but I just think that if you're bringing in a new manager, you may as well get him in the building now and get him doing his job.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. You know, obviously the results that Martin O'Neill's got, and Barry said it there, you know, he came in and steadied the ship, and all of these things is exactly what the board would want from an interim manager, especially the way that Brendan Rodgers had left, and we all know what happened in terms of the summer transfer window. But I think if you're a Celtic Football Club and you're long-term planning, then instantly, as soon as you get the interim sorted out, you are then looking to identify your next manager. You're not going to wait and say, how are we doing after five games? Because then they'll be accused of not forward-thinking. If Martin O'Neill would have came in and, you know, won two games and lost three games, everyone would be like saying, well, why haven't we got a manager in? This is on the board. So the board were always going to put him in interim charge and then get a new manager. Celtic have to be planning long-term. And I know, Barry, what you're saying, keep until January or the end of the season, but I just don't think that's something that's ideal for a club of your size.
Barry?
But the players have gelled to the philosophy that Martin O'Neill as a manager has brought. He's came in with the prestige, the history, the glory days, and meet some of these players, for their own personal sake, it was like a second chance for them to be upping their game, and I would think they have upped their game. So this new guy coming in, he's going to have a different philosophy. I've already heard through the grapevine that he plays some weird formations. And what if the players don't adapt to that and then they go on a losing streak again? I actually blame the board. And if it goes pear-shaped, they've only got themselves to blame, and the fans will be kicking off yet again.
What happens if it doesn't, Barry? What happens if he comes in, hits the ground running, a couple of difficult games coming up, wins the cup final, all of a sudden playing exciting football? What happens then?
Well, I'm always of, you know, if something's no broke, you don't fix it. I don't think he should have had the chance. Martin O'Neill should have. It's his cup final, Martin O'Neill's cup final, and he's still getting that chance. However, if Wilfred Nancy goes and plays the team well and everybody's all performing, then, well, what I'm saying tonight is niff naff and trivia, basically. But I just don't think it's too much to risk, is what I think.
I think the timing, I think, now that it's got this far, is it feels like a bit of a shame, right? On a personal level, whatever that means for Martin O'Neill, when you get to, what's he going to get to, the fourth, probably? So whatever day they officially hand over, he's getting pretty close to the cup final, right? Close enough to touch it, he won't get to take the team. But this is where I think it's played out in a really sort of strange way, because Barry's saying if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But see, so what are we saying then? When you appoint an interim, you hope that he loses some games so that it makes it easier for the new guy to take over. You know, the plan is your ideal world, right? When Brendan Rodgers walks out the door, your ideal world is that you've got your new guy identified, and until he can come in, whoever is manning the ship wins all the games.
Yeah,
I know it's emotional because it's Martin O'Neill.
Flip it quickly, right? Say, for instance, John Kennedy has still been in the building when Brendan Rodgers left. John would have been able to take that team, right? So say John went on that wee run and they were bringing in a new manager, and all of a sudden they says, hold it, stop the bus. We're not bringing in this new manager because John, he deserves a cup final.
But you're comparing different characters,
aren't
you? Yeah,
it's because it's Martin O'Neill, Gordon. And listen, I totally get it, because Martin O'Neill is a hero at Celtic, and to pitch up again after 25 years, do what he's doing at 73 years of age, is brilliant, and he's lifted the full club for me, probably given the players inside that dressing room a massive lift as well. And he's got to take all the credit in the world for that. But
they're winning games, though, Gordon. They should be winning themselves, yeah, domestically.
But you're right. If you're going to move forward, the club
is winning them.
I know, and listen, and Barry's talking about formations, etc. So that's why Brendan Rodgers left, because he couldn't get a tune out of the players anymore. But ultimately, is it a massive surprise to us that yes, Martin O'Neill is fantastic and everything else, that someone's gone in there and made them be able to win these games domestically? There's not one of those games that Celtic went into and I thought, oh, do you know what? I'd expect Celtic to lose that.
I think St Mirren away, though, Hibs away. The form Celtic had been on, they could have dropped points in those games.
Listen, you always say gamble responsibly. If I gave you a quid, who would you have bet on in those games? So they were expected to win these games of football. I get what Martin O'Neill's done. It's fantastic. But then to say someone should keep the job because you'll get Celtic winning games domestically, that doesn't
Marv, can I just say something here? If you gave somebody a quid, it wouldn't be about your bonus money.
I'll be giving it to you. I'll get it from you.
Your win bonus.
Barry, although you're sad to see him go, is it better that it's a home game to finish?
Well, it's that a home game, and I think he'll be running towards the fans at the end, win, lose or draw. But I'm just concerned that if the players don't buy into the new guy's philosophy, it's, you know, a damp squib, isn't it?
I think there's clearly a concern, and we'll get into this more when Wilfred Nancy's appointed. Clearly, it is going to be interesting to see how that bit's handled, because it would be interesting if he was to come in and stick these guns and rip everything up and change the formation and, you know, try and get all these instructions over at a time when you go Hearts, Roma, St Mirren League Cup, game after game after game, festive schedule. So it's going to be interesting to see how he manages it.
I think that's why the Celtic fans would probably be looking at Martin O'Neill now and thinking, look at the fixtures we've got coming up here. Look at what Martin's achieved. Feyenoord, I thought they were excellent on the night. You know, they go to a difficult venue, Easter Road, and they come out with the 3 points there, especially after the Thursday night game. So with the fixtures coming up, yeah, I can take all that on board, Gordon, but if you're going to move forward to a new manager, and Martin O'Neill knew the situation from day one, then you can't just pick and choose and think, right, we'll wait till the cup final. What happens if he wins the cup final under Martin O'Neill? Oh, hold on a minute, give him another couple of weeks. You've got the January window coming up. You've got to get him in. You've got to trust on...
Cup final could have been quite a clean way of doing it, though, no?
Yeah, but what do you do with a new manager? Tell him to go and...
If I'm the new manager, I want to come in for that cup final. I want to show the fans what I can do. I want to play Hearts and get silverware within your first 2 weeks of a job. We saw it with Clement when he went into Rangers. You know, managers want to be in there to win things, and he has to be lovely for Martin O'Neill, but I think the board are doing the right thing here.
Okay, Barry, you'll have to agree to disagree with these two, but I'm sure loads of other Celtic fans will back you up, Barry. No doubt about it. Give us a call. We'll speak to you next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025. Give us a call. Martin O'Neill confirming today it will be his final game in charge tomorrow. We've had a Celtic fan on with a passionate plea for Martin O'Neill to stay a bit longer, if you like. Let's bring in John, who's a Celtic fan, and get his take.
Good evening, Gordon and Big Marv.
Hello, John. Evening, mate.
All right, guys. Listen, Celtic fan here, you know, Gordon, right? Listen, your first call tonight, I think it was Barry, I'm not sure, but he's banging on about, Martin O'Neill shouldn't go, and this guy coming in, Wilfred Nancy, and things like that, blah, blah, blah. Martin, see, Gordon Dale, he made a great point there. Martin O'Neill's had this discussion with the board. They sat down and said, Martin, do you fancy this gig? Blah, blah, blah. Listen, I'm here interim, and as Gordon said, interim. Done your job, done a fantastic job. He's passing the mantle over to Wilfred, right, this new manager, and said, well, they're the parcel, don't drop it. They've got a good wee kind of group of guys now. The players, everybody's up, blah, blah, blah. So this is the best time for the manager to come in, right? Martin, as Martin says, he'll go get his coffee down in London, whatever. But for the first call, I keep buying on blah, 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 whatever, about it's no great. Martin's had this conversation with the board, and categorically, the big guy coming in, which I think will be great for Celtic, and I do think one of your callers, I think it was last week, said they might win a Champions League, you never know. But that's my point tonight, Gordon. And I'd be quick point before I go into this one, is tonight we'll hear news about the Green Brigade have been extended for the ban. Me personally, right, not against the Green Brigade, but me personally, all this tit for tat, I'm just put the seats back in and get on there. Anyway.
No, you're right. That was a fair point, because something I don't think I'd mentioned yet. It was sort of breaking before we came on. There was another statement from Celtic confirming they had, as John alluded to, extended the ban for the Green Brigade. It's all quite detailed, this stuff. It's all references to incidents in Falkirk games and members of the Green Brigade confronting security staff at AGM, and it's all kind of, you know, long bullet points about the sort of indiscretions or alleged indiscretions, which you can read on Celtic's website. And by all means, if you've got any thoughts, but it's very detailed. It's quite hard for us to like distill that. The headline is that, though, basically, that the ban has been extended ultimately. So, as John alluded to, John's a bit more on your side of things, Gordon. He doesn't think it is an issue to say farewell to Martin and Neil at this point.
Yeah, look, I can't be 100% sure, but I'm sure that maybe that conversation would have been slightly, you know, not to a great detail, but I just get a feeling that Martin's loved his time, and there's nothing better when you go in there. He said there about the fear factor coming back, and you're thinking, you know, the success I had 25 years ago, you come back into that job, you're 73, you've not been in the game for a while, you're a bit thinking, oh, please don't let this go wrong. But he's been brilliant for him, and he's obviously excited with it. He's enjoying it. Gets manager of the month. He's playing Dundee. He can go out in a real, real high. I'm not too sure Martin would have seen this as a long term anyway. He knew what he was in for, and he's done that job brilliantly, and you've got to say that. So maybe it is time for him just to go out there tomorrow. You would expect him to beat Dundee and basically just milk it for what it is for him, and take every pat in the back from everybody that's going to give him it, because obviously he's absolutely adored by the Celtic fans. But if you're Celtic, it is time. New manager come in, prepare for January, because it's going to be a big window as well.
What about the timing though, John, where it is quite close to the cup final, and maybe fans wanting Martin O'Neill to get that chance, or thinking it could be tough for Wilfred Nancy to go straight into Hearts, Roma and St Mirren?
No, Gordon, I'm the opposite. I think it's listen, Gordon, Martin O'Neill will be at Hampden cup final, win or lose. He'll be, hopefully win, he'll be there in some capacity. I think he will make his way up the stairs with Wilfred Nancy, if that's the manager, you don't know, but I think it will be. But anyway,
what do you mean, you think he'll go and like lift the trophy if you win?
I don't think
that's Martin O'Neill's style. I think he'd want to stay out of the limelight, would they not?
No, Gordon, I do think, though, I mean, he's not going to disappear. I think he'll be at that match. I do think, I'm not saying he might not go lift the trophy, but I think in some capacity he will be there. But listen, guys, there's Big Marvin Gordon there who have played the game, right, to a high level, right? Guys, I ask you a question now. What Martin's done in the dressing room, right, use our players, put yourself in that position, use our players, everybody's buzzing. Martin sat them down and told them, look, new guys coming in, blah, blah, blah. But you know, but wasn't more thinking that I want to impress again because the new guys, the group of guys are coming in, the new manager, his own team, things like that. You want to keep this going. I think that is, as well, Gordon, is a factor for the new guy to be coming in right now and kicking things on. But Martin's left there. I do think Martin will be playing some part in the cup final. I do.
Yeah, I think you're right, John, in terms of, I think Celtic needed a new voice. We spoke about it at the back end of last season. Looked lethargic. They struggled at the start of this season under Brendan Rodgers in terms of the standards that they had set. And Martin O'Neill coming in and changing the coaching staff, you start to hear new voices with new ideas. And ultimately, you're playing the same game. Listen, it's a game of football. The shape changed ever so slightly in terms of what they're trying to do. But you're totally right there. The players would have known that Martin O'Neill was coming in for a short time. He'd have been delighted to do that, happy to help the football club. But they also got one eye on thinking, who's coming in next? And this is a chance for me to make an impression whilst given the chance under Martin O'Neill. They've done that. You know, they've clawed hearts back in rapid fashion. And now they've got a new manager coming in again. Like you said, who will have new ideas, be a fresh approach to things. And the players will take that on. And they want to, you know, like you said, if they can beat Hearts, go above Hearts, win the cup final. It's a massive, massive few weeks for these football players. And then you've got the January window coming as well. So if you don't perform, if you don't play to the levels that you need to be to stay in a Celtic Football Club, you'll just simply be replaced.
I think Martin O'Neill said today he intends to go to the League Cup final, but I don't, John says he'll play a part. I just can't see.
Yeah, no.
He'll be working.
Yeah, no. Listen,
he's... if that's the case, you'll need to get Brendan Rodgers as well. The freedom, will need to go and lift it.
Listen... He'll certainly be there in support of the club, there's no doubt. But you're right, Gordon. Martin O'Neill will not be down there anywhere near a dugout or at the end of the game or going up to, you know, a wee lift of the trophy. Martin O'Neill knows what he's achieved since he went back into the club. He was there to put the club in a good place for a new manager coming in, and he's achieved that. He's been absolutely brilliant for Celtic. But it's time for the new manager to come in and take it forward.
Thank you, John. He's also manager of the month is Martin O'Neill. Here is what he had to say on that accolade.
I'm really pleased. I am genuinely pleased about it. Why not? Must have made some sort of impression. Not an impact, but an impression, you know. I think the difference is between an impression, just kind of touch over it, and an impact, you thump it in it.
Hard to argue. I think he won all these games. Don't think you're really meant to take it into account, but whether you can or not, I think that was the month he beat Rangers in the semi-final as well, so don't think we'll get any arguments.
No, I won't be arguing with
Need
that.
Fit in his suitcase though for going back down the road.
Yeah, that's the problem.
It's quite heavy.
We'll just leave it up here.
Scott is next on the line. Hi, Scott.
Hi, how you doing, boys? All right tonight?
Good, Scott. What are you thinking?
Hey, buddies, it was just to get involved in the debate about Martin O'Neill. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a lot of Celtic fans being for him to be there for the cup final and stuff like that. I just think they've got a new manager in there. Let's just go in with it. We've been 2 or 3 minutes away to lose. He's actually drawn a few games while Martin's been in charge. No through his fault. I think he's done a great job. But basically, football matches are all about the players for me. Sometimes the players perform, sometimes we don't. I'd just like to ask you boys about that. What do you actually think about that then? Obviously, a lot of people saying, Rodgers has lost the dressing room and this, that and the next thing. For me, the players were just going through a bad patch with their own performances. They've got slightly better. Feyenoord game, they got a lot better. They actually played nearer their own, obviously, capacities. But what do you boys think about it?
Just back to you quickly though, Scott. If the same group of players start playing better and getting better results when the manager changes, does that not suggest that he gets some of the credit for it and he's done a good job?
Yeah. Do you boys think that they've actually been playing better every game for every minute of these games? I think they've been in and out. That's just my personal...
I don't think anyone would say the performance levels have gone through the roof, but there's clearly been an improvement.
I think if you look back to... Right, the argument to that is I don't think they played particularly well at St Mirren. As much as you can say, well, that's always a hard game, but St Mirren are sitting 11th, and they're sitting 11th for a reason just now. But McGregor goes with a wonder goal and gets them the 3 points, which is the most important thing. And then the performance... and Feyenoord was absolutely brilliant. And at times on Sunday, they had to grind it out a little bit because Hibs started the game well and gifted the Celtic a goal. And then I thought Celtic's second goal was absolutely brilliant team goal. I thought it was an absolute brilliant goal. And then they came under a little bit of pressure again, and it showed great character. So there was ups and downs under Martin O'Neill. There was a lot of games there that...
It wasn't really downs, though, was there? It was ups and downs.
Probably in performance rather than result. No, but, I definitely agree. In terms of result, he's picked up the results. I think first half against Hibs is probably the best they've played under Martin O'Neill. Because domestically. Mm. Some of the passages that they played in there, some of the football that they were playing was unbelievable, and Hibs couldn't get anywhere near them. Then the flip side of that is, you know, what Scott's talking about and maybe Gordon's alluding to is the St Mirren game where you need a Callum McGregor to come up, where I thought Celtic were poor as I've seen them for a long time.
We've spent months talking about it. This Celtic squad, due to poor recruitment, bit of form maybe as well, and injuries, this squad is nowhere near the type of squad where you go, they're going to go to St Mirren and romp it, they're going to go to Easter Road and romp it. It just isn't.
Why? Why is it not? We say this squad isn't capable, but...
At the risk of sounding patronising, did you watch the first few months of the season? Because that's what everyone's basing it on.
Yeah, but that's down to, again, what Scott's saying there. Is it down to players not following things? Is like those players should still be able to perform at a lot higher level, and they always hear that,
but we spoke about this last night, right? That only takes you so far. A Rangers fan came on and made a really good point last night. You keep hearing that. Yeah, Nicholas Raskin's a Belgian international. It didn't look like he would get in the Falkirk team at the weekend. So it's all right. It's all right saying that, right? But this Celtic squad, when Martin O'Neill took over, if I had asked you lot if he would get all those results that he's got, I don't think you would have said that he would have.
Well, I said they would catch Hearts by January, so there was I clearly thought they'd pick up results. I never thought Celtic, with the quality that they had, and I know it's not as good as the squad's gone by, Gordon, I understand that, but I still thought that they would be able to beat the rest of the teams domestically. I think the only real challenge for them would ever be Rangers, even though Celtic underperformed.
I know, but see on that logic, and I get where you're coming from. Well, you just back Celtic to win every single game domestically because they're always favourites, but they're not going to win every game, are they? So I don't think that's a fair way of really judging it and saying, well, Martin O'Neill was always going to win all these domestic games because he's Celtic.
Not always going to win. No. That, you're right. It wasn't always going to win it because clearly under Brendan Rodgers, they weren't winning every single game.
And good Celtic teams can drop points in Paisley and Easter Road.
Yeah. He's made a difference to them. He's definitely made them better. But I also would say that it's not a huge surprise that he's done what he has done. They needed maybe a new voice. Maybe they needed Brendan Rodgers to go. Maybe they needed slight, you know, tactical adjustment that he has made. And that's down to him and his coaching team. But I didn't think it was a massive overhaul needed at Celtic for them to start winning games domestically.
Yeah, I know where Mark's coming from. The only one I would probably say, I'm looking at Martin O'Neill's reign, Mitchell, and I know they were sitting top of the table at the time. The first half, Celtic were all over the place. Second half, they come out and there was a lot better. Listen, you can't deny, as much as Celtic do probably get into nearly every game domestically favourites, you still got to go out there and perform. I think, I look back, right, okay, I thought they were really poor against it, man. You talk about Feyenoord, I thought it was a great result, great performance, everything about it. But for me, the signs of Martin O'Neill stamping his authority was in Sunday, Easter Road. Going to a difficult, difficult venue, and it was all about getting the result, and he managed to go and achieve that. And I keep saying it, his job was quite simply to make sure Celtic were in a good place for a new manager to come in, and he has achieved that big time.
Thank you very much to Scott on the line. Why don't you join in? Let us know what you're thinking. Martin O'Neill revealing today that it will be his final game in charge tomorrow. We have to, it's his message. We'll need to just hope that he's right, because we can't do this again. We thought we were drawing a line under it at the weekend, but surely this time. Give us a call whilst I tell you about this.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas on Clyde One with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, proud to support the local community.
At Cash for Kids West of Scotland, so if you're looking for a scale on the size of the challenge here, we've already received applications for over 16,000 disadvantaged children who are facing a Christmas without food and a warm home, never mind a gift. Unfortunately, we're facing such high demand, we've had to pause applications due to not enough funds to grant out. And this is why we need your help, because there's a great opportunity for you to help Cash for Kids make a difference to children living in poverty, but you could also be a serious winner off the back of this as well, because you could win a JQ5 a brand new car, a brilliant brand new car. It's worth tens of thousands of pounds, and all you need to do is donate £5 to Cash for Kids. So you text the word car to 84901. That's car to 84901. £5 donation to Cash for Kids, and the brand new car might be yours. Are we allowed to reveal? Is it a surprise if you've gone and had a wee look? Is that?
I had a test drive today.
You impressed?
Impressed. I'll tell you how impressed I am. I'm going to buy one of those cars in the next month or two. It was fantastic. It was for a £5, not just for a car, but for what you're giving to Cash for Kids, and to get that on top of it, what a Christmas you'd have.
Be honest though, you jumped in the car with the guy and you tried to crack a Top Gear joke, but you called yourself the what?
The Sting.
The Sting.
You should have seen him linger.
That would be the stinky to everyone else. But anyway, if you want a brand new car, and why wouldn't you, text the word car to 84901, donate the £5 to Cash for Kids. Lines close 6 p.m. Saturday the 13th of December. 18 plus only, and every penny goes straight to Cash for Kids. You can cancel your donation and remain entered by replying cancel within 60 minutes, but why would you do that? And all the rules are at Clyde1.com. Text car to 84901.
1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL are here. Why not give them a call? We're still to hear from Danny Rule as well. Some interesting stuff from him, talking about needing players who knows what it takes to play for Rangers. Rangers fans, how are you? 2 days on. Have you calmed down any from the weekend? We had some pretty strong language used to describe the performance on last night's show. What's your thought process ahead of a big game tomorrow as well? Get in touch, let us know. You can send us a tweet as always, but we much prefer to hear from you on the phones, just like John in Mount Vernon. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you doing, Gordon? You all right?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks. Hi, Marv, how are you doing, Gordon?
Oh, good. Hi, mate. John.
My point tonight is, I'm not quite sure why we're kind of throwing Wilfred Nancy's name about there. He's not actually been announced. If that makes any sense, like, why have we kind of thrown his name out there? Like, what happened with Kevin Muscat and Steven Gerrard with Rangers? He's not been announced, so why do we keep using his name?
I think there's been
no evidence at all from Celtic Football Club to say that Wilfred Nancy has signed with Celtic.
Celtic don't say anything about anything, John. He's way, 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 way further down the line than Kevin Muscat or Steven Gerrard were. I think that'll be why.
You're right about that, yeah, you're right, but has there been any evidence at all from Celtic Football Club to say that Wilfred Nancy is in the door?
But he's not in the door, that's the point.
Yeah, but why are we using his name then?
He's standing outside chatting. He's in the arrivals at Glasgow Airport. Put it this way, John. I totally get what you're saying, because I at the time, we all thought Steven Gerrard, we all thought Kevin Muscat. Uh-huh. If Martin O'Neill has been allowed to sit in press conferences and face questions such as, what advice will you give Wilfred Nancy? If he's been allowed to answer those questions and it doesn't turn out to be Wilfred Nancy, it will be one of the biggest communication failures I have ever seen in the history of football.
I think this is what my question's based on then. Like, why are we asking Martin O'Neill about Wilfred Nancy when no one has mentioned Wilfred Nancy?
Because nobody else at Celtic answers the questions, John. Martin O'Neill has... I'm serious though. Martin O'Neill has, and it's maybe a discussion for another day, in fact Roger brought it up last night, Martin O'Neill shouldn't be the one that's updating people on the managerial situation. He shouldn't be.
You're absolutely right with
but,
that.
But he is. He's the only one who faces questions. I think there was one statement issued, I think, maybe a couple of weeks ago, basically just said that the process was ongoing. So I totally take John's point. You know, it's not like anyone at Celtic's confirmed it's going to be Wilfred Nancy, but then they don't confirm things, and it's going to be him. Imagine these phone lines if it's not.
Do you know, I think Martin is answering the questions because he's basically been asked in a roundabout way about his future. So when he's talking about his future, he's talking about the person that's come in to replace him, and he obviously knows who's coming in.
I mean, today,
him.
What was the phrase? We could maybe get, maybe I've got it. The phrase was something today like, yep, that'll be my last game, and the young man will come in. I'm assuming he doesn't mean just any random young man. I'm assuming he has one specific young man in mind.
Yeah, he's going to come in and replace him. And listen, it's one of those things. I think Martin O'Neill's so open with everything he's done in terms of his press conferences since coming back to the football club, and he's always jovial and everything else. And that's, you know, we know it's going to be Nancy. I know what you're saying, John, but nothing's ever confirmed before a manager comes in. I think, you know, we're 99.9% sure that he will be the one to replace him. Martin O'Neill's told us that. He's told us that, you know, tomorrow will be his last game. And, you know, that's why ultimately we're speaking about it.
Because he's been quite specific, John, hasn't he? If you remember the weekend, so he said he thought it would be his final game. He then at Easter Road said words to the effect of, I've had a phone call, there's been a... Did he mention paperwork? I think he might have, there's been a delay in the process. If he's saying those things, Johnny, he's talking about Wilfred Nancy, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he had kind of mentioned that he had jokingly hidden the paperwork.
Yeah, that's right.
But I think my point is, like, has this ever been done before in Scottish football where no one has actually said that this guy is going to be the manager, but everyone's assuming this is going to be the manager?
Depends what you call assuming, though, John, because clubs don't publicly confirm who their new manager is going to be until he's their new manager. What I think is a bit different this time is it's quite a long interim process. It's been a bit strange because we've thought on a couple of occasions it has been his final game, so therefore it's kind of opened the door to ask questions about what comes next. But clubs don't say our new manager is going to be X. You call it assuming. It's people's jobs to just find out these things.
Yeah, it's I get that, but everyone kind of know. Everyone knew that Wilfred Nancy was going to be the manager. What 6 weeks before, and then all of a sudden he's just in the door with no announcement. I don't get it.
I feel like we might be going round in circles. The announcement, he has to be appointed for the announcement. Celtic are not going to announce there's an announcement coming. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Why are you laughing? I'm losing the plot here.
No, John's making me lose the plot.
You might have, you've got some intel. Did your lovely lady not actually ask him live on TV at the week? I'm sure she did ask him about Wilfred.
Are you watching?
The Coronation Street omnibus, if that's still a thing. No. I think the question was along the lines of, is it Wilfred Nancy? And he said, I believe so. I mean, look, yeah. I take John's point. You've heard the cliche, until the scarf's above the head. Yeah. And but again, it makes no difference to me. Imagine the plug gets pulled over the weekend. It means we'll be in for one of the all-time weeks on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. So it's not that I would be offended by it, but I do feel it's safe to assume, John's word, that he will be the man.
Yeah, yes, it's very, very safe to assume so. And he will be in after tomorrow's game. And Martin O'Neill, hopefully for him, wins his last game, and then Wilfred Nancy will be in for the weekend.
Will they be at the game tomorrow night? Do we know?
I think
do the
so.
Halftime draw. Imagine he was in the
hoopie
outfit, like the masked singer.
And then it's that would be brilliant.
Be amazing, wouldn't it? The disco lights.
He's got to be at the game tomorrow.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
What makes you so sure of that?
No, I'm not sure. I'm just saying.
I think he'll be standing outside the door,
knocking to get in. I think he'll be there tomorrow.
Oh, that's a big shout. Okay, thank you very much to John. I think we got there in the end. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. It's 01419511025 and the lines close at 7, so let's hear from you right now.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025. Give us a call and let us know what you are thinking. We've got loads to get through. We heard from Martin O'Neill. He's the one. He's confirmed. I know there was a sceptic out there on the phones a minute ago, but Martin O'Neill confirming tomorrow's his final game, and everybody, apart from the previous caller, expects Wilfred Nancy to come in after that. Rangers fans, we're going to hear from Danny Rule today, talking about needing players who know what it takes to play for Rangers. What have you made of it all this week then? We had a lot of reaction last night to the performance and result against Falkirk. You go straight into another big game away at Dundee United. How are you feeling ahead of that one? Give us a call and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. I am distraught to report that we are now in December and Marvin Bartley has still not lost a single game on Beat the Pundit this season.
When has he played, Gordon?
How did this happen?
When has he played?
11, I think. 12.
11.
He gets his mates to phone up.
The last couple have been bad performances for me, though.
A win's a win.
You're right.
Would you not take that on a Saturday?
Oh, take any win, mate, right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
Did you hear last night's contestant? It was only 14. He's actually pretty good now. He pushed, but he played Roger.
Doesn't matter, he lost.
He pushed Roger. He did okay.
Imagine he called up tonight.
Oh, he'd batter you too. I said this last night. Yeah, yeah, he was really good. Let's bring in Fraser from Motherwell. How's it going, Fraser?
Not bad, yourself.
Not bad. Have you ever played this before?
I have not, no.
Right, surely you want the mayor of Motherwell, Gordon D. Elkin.
Of course, of
just
course.
Drop the ball off.
What part of Motherwell, Fraser? Do I know you?
You going to dox my location?
No, just in case you get the ball, I'll drop it off for you, son.
We'll probably be needing that.
Just give him a rough area, and they can just rough, kick, throw the ball out the window.
Landmark.
We can meet outside the Cooper Street.
It's Fir Park.
Oh, I could throw the ball to you.
Well, I don't think that's where he lives. He's saying that's where he's going to meet
you. He's not far from there.
No, he's deliberately hiding where he lives, which makes me suspicious.
Is he?
In a number of ways.
Yeah. We'll park our car somewhere and just get the bus.
I'm suspicious. Anyway, what we'll do here is toss the coin. If it's the blue side of the coin, it will be Marvin Bartley. The red side will be Gordon DL. How's your form, actually?
Not bad. Get beat last week for the first time in 5.
Right, okay.
So I wasn't happy.
Oh, it's Marvin. Let's see if his unbeaten record can
come on, Fraser. I'll drop it off for you, mate.
Bit of pressure on you, Fraser, as well tonight, because if every question you get right, we put another £10 to Cash for Kids Mission Christmas, thanks to our friends at Cairnhill Structures, okay?
A lot of pressure.
And a lot of pressure, Fraser. Let's do it.
Good
30
luck, mate.
Seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Bojan Miovski represents which country?
North Macedonia.
Who do Celtic face next in the Europa League?
Roma.
Which tier of Scottish football do Auchinleck Talbot play in?
Six.
Which Scottish Premiership manager shares his last name with a well-known singer from Mississippi?
Pass.
Name any Sheffield Wednesday player who's got Scotland caps currently.
Barry Bannon.
Name either country Kenny Miller played in outside the UK.
England.
Who knocked St Johnstone out of the Scottish Cup at the weekend?
I don't know, Queen's Park.
Okay, let's bring him back.
By the way, what's that song called?
I was too busy listening to that. If he gets that question right, I'll be amazed.
What question?
Why?
Is he not the one I'm talking about?
Obviously, but it's not hard when you think about it.
By the way, I'll tell you another thing. Fraser's voice is starting to get to me.
But you don't get to you?
I don't think his name's Fraser. I think he's an alias.
You think he's an alien?
Alias.
So hold on. You think you know Fraser from Motherwell? You don't think his name's Fraser?
No.
Fraser, has he sussed you out?
Night out with him.
Say that again.
I don't know, but I would love to go on a night out with him.
What makes you think that's not Fraser?
Play the game, you
what makes you think he's not called Fraser? I don't understand.
His voice is doing my head in because I think I've heard it before.
Right, this is really weird. I'll let you and Fraser sort this out personally. Let's play for Marvin. 30 seconds, same set of questions. Your time starts now. Bojan Miovski represents which country?
North Macedonia.
Who do Celtic face next in the Europa League?
Roma.
Which tier of Scottish football do Auchinleck Talbot play in?
Highland League.
Which Scottish Premiership manager shares his last name with a well-known singer from Mississippi?
David Gray.
Name any Sheffield Wednesday players who've got Scotland caps currently?
Barry Bannon.
Name either country Kenny Miller played in outside the UK?
Canada.
Who knocked St Johnstone out of the Scottish Cup?
David Gray.
I can see the thought process. He's not from Mississippi though.
I don't even know who Mississippi is.
Right, we'll get to that. Fraser, if that is your real name, how do you think it went?
It definitely is my real name. I thought it was alright, although Kenny Miller one, I don't know how I never got that.
No, you just misheard it, didn't you? Let's go through them and find out. Bojan Miovski is North Macedonia. You both got it. £10 into Cash for Kids.
Well done, Fraser.
Celtic Roma, you both got
really
it.
Is.
£20 into Cash for Kids. I was almost certain that you would either get this wrong or misinterpret it. It's not Highland League anyway, for rocking like
Highland Talbot. League there, Ayrshire. Sure.
But what I was looking for is sixth tier.
Yeah.
What? And Fraser got it. I said which tier? So sixth tier. Doesn't matter because you definitely got it wrong. Whatever way you look at it, Fraser got it right.
We're not even the same sat nav.
He's 3-2 up. Marvin's unbeaten this season.
Too much delay in this game.
He's coming with a late run.
I'll come back to this next one. Name any Sheffield Wednesday player who's got Scotland caps in the past. You had the choice of Barry Bannon, Liam Cooper, or Liam Palmer. You both got it. So you stay one up to Fraser, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Name either country Kenny Miller played in outside of the UK. Turkey or Canada, Fraser, you said England.
Back
So we're level with Marvin.
What did he miss out?
Who knocked St Johnston out of the cup? It was Cove. So Marvin's, he's out of sight. Hold anyway on. I just thought I'd come back
who
to this.
Who did Fraser say?
Ask me the Kenny Miller. What's your Kenny Miller question again?
Name any
you're
country,
not playing.
Any country that he played in outside the UK?
Oh, UK, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, you.
So you, Marvin's won
okay.
it anyway.
Calm down.
But seriously, I'm disappointed in you.
Mississippi, who is Mississippi? Is it a band?
What?
Are you for real?
I thought you said that you didn't know who Mississippi is. What
hold
you
on, no, hold on.
Are you talking about
you
the place Mississippi?
Do you think I'm talking about like Mrs. Sippy, like Mr. Sippy's wife?
Who's Mississippi?
But that's the way you just wanted. You just said, who's Mrs.
You know what I'm talking about. Right, tell me what the question is here.
Which Scottish Premiership manager shares his last name with a well-known singer from Mississippi?
So that's a group, but I don't know.
What?
The police?
I don't.
So you think I'm looking for the lead singer of a band called Mississippi?
I was going so hey Mississippi. I'm thinking who's the lead singer of that song?
Singer from the place Mississippi.
You didn't say place, did you? Did you know?
You need to say place. What is going? Is he switch him off and back on again?
Do you get where I'm coming
no.
from?
No.
All right. Okay.
Who's what? The most famous singer from Mississippi?
Stephen Presley.
Oh,
Elvis Presley, Stephen Presley.
Right, I thought it was. I just saw Mississippi in my mind. Who
David
sang
Graham's
that?
Close then.
Unbelievable. Fraser, I'm afraid we couldn't get you the victory, but you did chuck some serious money, 40 quid into Cash for Kids, thanks to our friends at Cairnhill Structure. So you've done your bit for charity. You'll take that, won't you?
I've done pretty well.
Good well man. Done, Fraser. Yes, you've well done very well.
Fraser, who's your team? Your Motherwell fan?
I'm a Motherwell fan.
Must be pretty happy with what you're seeing at the moment.
I was pretty gutted at the end of last season, but it was quite unexpected, to be honest. I was looking forward to seeing what was going to happen the transfer window in the summer, who he would bring in. But if anything, it's probably went even up a notch, hasn't it? Looking forward to following him.
It's a really good point that I think maybe gets overlooked. Jens Bertolaskou was not supposed to be the Motherwell manager this season. Michael Vimmer showed some signs.
Promise, would you say?
Yeah, the win at Ibrox was excellent. But some of the performances weren't. Then he left, and we'll put it this way, he would be hard pushed to be doing a better job than Jens Bertolaskou.
He's brilliant, isn't he? And I said in the programme on Sunday as well, what I love about this guy is he plays Hibs and he makes five changes. They won the game and they were brilliant against Hibs. You were saying that off camp. And then all of a sudden, he goes against the league leaders and makes four changes. You know, I love the way he mixes it up.
Also changes from back three to back four, yeah. But then the principles stay the exact same. You know, it doesn't change the way they
football
play.
He's playing, Gordon, and we touched on it earlier when the adverts were on. We were talking about the size of the crowd. Now, we know Hearts brought a big following, but over 10,000 at Fir Park.
Biggest crowd at Fir Park in 17 years. That includes the visits of Celtic and Rangers. So again, as you say, because Hearts played their part, they brought loads and filled the stand behind the goal. But the biggest crowd at Fir Park in 17 years. That's
he deserves amazing. That though. He deserves that back in. Because, you know, he spoke about the football that they played, and we were joking before, you know, after the show when they were going to play Hibs. And I was like, they're the best footballing team that we've actually played this season. You know, their rotations and everything you see them do. And they went and dispatched of Hibs, by the way. And now they sit, is it, where are they, third in the table? Yep. With a huge game coming up. So I'm really, really happy for him that he's done as well as he has. But just on Motherwell, Gordon, I was actually listening to a show the other day, and there's a guy called Hugh that called back in.
Lanark.
Yeah, he had a lot to say. And he said that I laughed at him. And basically, he's rewriting history, by the way. There was a couple of things in that. But Lennon Miller was sitting on the bench at this moment in time. So I was saying, you can't say these are the three best midfielders in the league when your best midfielder isn't currently playing. But I did hear Hugh call back
I think Hugh's got you.
No, he hasn't.
Are you admitting you were wrong then?
No, I wasn't wrong.
What I would say.
Why'd you bring
because
him?
Because I joined in when I sort of took your side. I remember it. Hugh called at the start of the season
often.
And said he thought Motherwell had the best midfield in the country, right? Which I know why you disagreed, and I would disagree. But they're performing so well. They genuinely are.
They are. The whole team is 100%.
But no,
the whole
midfield
team.
In particular.
The midfielder are doing well. The whole team's doing really, really well.
If Motherwell had like a number nine that was as efficient as the midfield is, they could genuinely be. It's going to sound ridiculous. They could be top of the league. They could be top of the league right now, I think, if that was like if all the part, because that's the hardest bit, isn't it?
You know, the old if my auntie had,
yeah, of course,
my uncle,
yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I'm talking about where the, because if the point was specifically on the midfield, I think you'd be hard pushed to find a better functioning midfield in the league right now.
Nah, disagree.
Which midfield functions better right now? Genuinely,
you're talking about individual players here.
No, I know that, but then...
No, he's talking about...
Motherwell are never going to have that, budget-wise. Which midfield in the league functions better than Motherwell's right now?
Sure, I'm backing you up,
Hibs.
What? Did you watch the game last Tuesday? Is that the same Hibs midfield that didn't get a touch?
10 men, leave them alone.
Hibs. For 25 minutes with 11 men, the Hibs midfield didn't
also
get a touch of the ball.
Hearts midfield, when they got their full function midfield with Devlin and Beningame, that in terms of midfielders, like they're up there as well, 100%.
Up there?
Yeah.
Just below, I would say.
You would say, listen, I'm going to take nothing away from Motherwell. They've been fantastic. So if you want to say that they're the best three, then I can't argue with you. We got them on Saturday as well.
Just three, because there's a couple on the bench that rotate in and out
five.
As well. And don't even...
Hugh's in the call up tonight. He's listening at home, isn't he? Shouting at his radio.
Yeah.
Come on, Hugh. Give us a call.
Anyway.
I miss you, Shippy, one through here, didn't
I? You're telling me. You malfunctioned again. I don't know that band. Like,
yeah. Can you stop thinking of the song? You heard the song?
No.
Have you not?
No.
Anyway, it should be a good game that tomorrow, because if we're going to praise Mother, we've got to praise Falkirk. I mean, what more can you say about a team that goes from League One to the Championship, top flight, everybody writes them off, they've adapted in certain ways, but they're brilliant.
How far have they came when the manager, who has been brilliant for them, I love the way he speaks after the games, because I think he's very upfront and honest, John, and he comes out, you go to Ibrox, Rangers don't really lay a glove on you, right? And he turns around and says, we didn't play particularly well. So it shows you the standards that he's got for the team. It shows you how far they've came. I had them down there fighting relegation for day one. Look, there's still a lot of football to go, of course there are.
You don't expect them to be there by the end of the season now, do you?
No, I probably don't, Gordon. But look, see the way the league goes. You look at St Mirren, you look at Dundee United, they were sitting up near the top of the league at one point. They fell down the rankings. Kilmarnock started well. You were expecting St Mirren to be up in that top six. They're second bottom. So there's a lot of football. It'll change. There's no doubt that will change. Maybe the bottom won't change, but it'll change.
Bottom better change, mate.
Okay, thank you to Fraser. A good effort on Beat the Pundit, but not quite enough. If you really want to know, tell Gordon Mississippi was a hit for Pussycat.
That's the one.
Oh, shocking you, that's all.
I'm trying to
Ziggy Starbucks on Twitter has got in touch, but I can't get over that. You thought I was looking for the singer of the band Mississippi.
Yeah, I did. That sort of a...
Who was it hit for? What band?
Pussycat Dolls.
No, she's just Pussycat.
Pussycat.
That's what it's stuck in your head.
Oh, my word. Simon is on the line. Hi, Simon.
Hi, guys. How you sort of doing?
Not bad. Simon is a Kilmarnock fan. Worried Kilmarnock fan? Would that be fair? Is there any other kind just now?
No, extremely worried. Gordon said there that the bottom of the table won't change. I would make a bet that it will. And that Livingston will start climbing the table and Kilmarnock will drop if things don't change. It's a really, really, really worrying time at the moment. Things aren't getting better. You know, I know a draw on paper looks like, you know, it's an improvement, it's stopped the rot, but, you know, is that, if the level of our ambition is to, you know, get a draw at home against Dundee to stop after six defeats in a row, it's a really, really tough time at the moment, and, you know, I don't see things getting better. I'm shocked that the manager's still in place. I think it's the echoes of the season we went down where we didn't sack Alex Dyer. Too quickly, we sacked him too late, and it's a really, really worrying time at the moment.
Well, there are no signs at all at the weekend, Simon, that things, because even the week before, Stuart Kettlewell said there wasn't that much in the game against Motherwell. I don't know if you'd agree with that. That was certainly his assessment. Is it? Do you feel that far away?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
I think that the Motherwell game, Motherwell absolutely played us off the park. Motherwell were excellent. We weren't at all. We had about a 10-minute spell at the start of the second half where I think we kind of came into the game a wee bit. But, you know, we're not creating enough chances. He spoke after the game on Saturday and said that we didn't play with enough pace and verve. this is it. He came in the summer in a position that a lot of managers don't get, which is to pretty much rebuild an entire squad. We only had a couple of first-team players signed up. He had a budget which is apparently only a little bit smaller than what Derek McInnes had last year, so he had the opportunity to build a squad in his image, and he didn't sign anyone with pace. So then you're coming out after games and say we didn't play with intensity and pace. We don't have the players to do that. You signed Scott Tiffany, and he's literally the only one in our squad who, you know, would beat Gordon Dalziel in a foot race. So it's a really, really tough time. He was brought in the summer saying to bring in youth players. We've got one of the best young fullbacks in the country in Ben Brannan. He had a tough couple of games, and he's just not featuring anymore. James Brown's came in, who is an honest pro, but he's not a Premiership footballer at this level. He's not good enough. He's not playing well either, and he keeps his place ahead of Ben Brannan. You know, David Watson's form's dropped in the last couple of weeks as well. He'd started a good season. It's just I'm going tomorrow. I don't know why. I actually bought tickets at half time in the Motherwell game. When I was finished booing, I went on my phone and emailed the ticket office and said I wanted tickets for the Hearts game because I thought he would be gone. And then the Dundee United game, again, most people thought he was going to be gone that night. He's still hanging on by the skin of his teeth, I think. But it's a really, really poor time. Things aren't getting better. The football on display is atrocious. You know, if we were losing games, but we were playing young players and the football was a bit better to watch, you know, you can kind of go, right, at least we can see what he's doing. Maybe not to the level of Askew, but, you know, we could see, you know, he's trying to play a different style of football. But on Saturday, we again had about 10, 15 minutes spell, 20 minutes maybe if you're being generous. And then the rest of it was just, you know, hoofing the ball up to Bruce Anderson. With all due respect, Bruce has got a lot of qualities and I like him as a striker. But, you know, being a target man's not one of them.
Just on the subject of squad, Simon, because you've spun it in a way that, you know, it was a good opportunity for Stuart Kettlewell to build his own squad, which I acknowledge. But do you make allowances for the quality of player that you lost? Because, what was it, Ndaba, Murray, Fassell, Armstrong, Wales, there will be others. You'd be able to complete the list better than I could. It's all right saying he had the chance to rebuild that, but that's also not easy, is it?
No, it's not at all. I do give him a bit of leeway with regards to that. I think the players that he's brought in, you know, some of them look okay. You know, Marcus Stackers had a really good start to the season. He had a poor few games and he's been bombed out. I think the goalkeeper situation, great news today with Max Stryek tweeting that he's on the road to recovery. His heart surgery went well. And I think the manager said on Saturday he's already jogging again, which is insane for what he went through. And, you know, I really just hope him, wish him all the best and hope to see him back as soon as he's possible. But yeah, I feel like the signings in the summer weren't necessarily the ones. We've signed ourselves into a corner almost. So like, we've only signed players to fit into one system. So when that system doesn't work, we don't have the players to change it. So we only signed Scott Tiffany as a winger. But Greg Kilty, who can play out there if you need him to, but he's best as a 10. He's not really got the pace anymore to play out wide. And also Matty Kennedy's a long-term injury. Mm-hmm. So we signed those players to fit into that 3-5-2. And when that's not working, you know, we can't change it out. We can't even just stick another guy out wide or, you know, try and put a bit of pace in the team because we don't have it. But yeah, listen, our record at Tynecastle is brilliant. I think over the last maybe like 15 years, our record's pretty much, I think we've won as many times as Hearts have in this fixture. I don't see it happening tomorrow. I'd love it to. I'd love to stop Derek's title challenge. But yeah, the goalkeeper situation was a tough one, but it wasn't helped by Kettlewell's decision to sign out.
Made a good penalty save, I suppose, at the weekend. It feels like there's a number, and I'm not trying to have a dig at you here. It feels like there are a number of teams all at the same time that really could be doing with a win at the moment.
Like who?
Oh,
you should not try
him. Seriously,
honesty hurts.
No, but even in a mini sense, Hearts.
Yeah.
So tomorrow, when, you know, talking about Hearts against Kilmarnock, both really could be doing with a win. Add St Mirren to the mix. Livy, yes, fine. I know you're not playing at the moment.
Yeah.
So it kind of feels that way at the moment.
It's a strange one though, because Kilmarnock started the league ever so well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we played them in the League Cup, and then we played them in the league early doors. And you know, I think you drew, was it four of your first five games, and then you won a couple after that. Simon, what's gone so wrong in recent times? I know the goalkeeper situation's not helped, but you know, it seems like a lot of your performances as well have just kind of fallen off a cliff.
Yeah, it's the style of play as well. I think you would have seen it at the start of the season. We were getting the ball down. We had Big Backers and Gennaro Daniels up front, who are a handful. Daniels obviously has got a bad injury as well, but you know, we were getting the ball down, we were passing, you know, Dakers is really good at bringing the ball into play and linking up the play, but we seemed to have, as soon as anything changed, as soon as something bad happened, we just reverted to type. And again, I compare it to the Motherwell situation, where when something bad happens with Motherwell, they stick to what they're doing, they keep playing the same system, we just go batter it along, you know. Or you know, we've got also got guys like Robbie Deese, who keeps making mistakes every game. He keeps costing his goals or costing his opportunities. I feel that the squad's just, I don't think it's good enough. I think there's too many mistakes in it, and I don't think mentally the squad, and now that might be down to the manager, that might be down to something else. Yeah. But we don't know when we're not there. But yeah, it's a, I think the fact that we don't have that set style of play and we don't stick to it and we just go long all the time and it's just back to the way things are, and you know, it's just it's not enjoyable as a supporter. It's really not.
Simon, thank you very much. A worried Kilmarnock fan. We're going to hear from Danny Rule when we return. So Rangers fans, 2 days on from that draw against Falkirk, how do you look back on it? The result, the performance, what's needed, how you feel about the squad, how you feel about the manager. He made some interesting comments about personnel today. We'll hear them next, so let's have you join in.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel is here alongside Marvin Bartley. We're about to hear from Danny Rule. So Rangers fans, whatever is on your mind tonight, we'd love to hear it. I've got a good full time teaser for you. Topical, because on Friday it is the
World Cup draw.
No, it's the Cash for Kids lunch, but after that it's the World Cup draw.
Yeah.
You got your outfit all sorted?
I've got a choice of two.
Oh, are you working just say the mood takes you?
Yeah, I've got the ties and the shirts laid out just to... Do you know how you've got to mix and match a little bit? Because the last 40 was Mark's wedding. And if you go with the same suit on, everybody's on you, right?
You need to mix it up. I've got the same thought.
To mix it up.
I know what you're saying.
So I've sprayed my new shoes.
Anyway, the World Cup draw will be after the Cash for Kids lunch. Can you name, Aidan in Bathgate says, can you name the last 6 players who've won one of the previous 3 men's World Cups and have scored a competitive goal against Celtic or Rangers?
Coutinho?
No. So the last 6 players who've won one of the previous 3 men's World Cups and scored a competitive goal against Celtic or Rangers.
Sure.
Yes. So sure.
How sure?
So when did Coutinho win the World Cup?
No idea.
2006, right? So not one of the last 3. Okay. And has he scored against Celtic or Rangers either?
Maybe Neymar?
Who?
No. What World Cup did he win in the last 3?
I don't know. Remember, it was going to be someone at PSG when they played Celtic.
Can I
Celtic
be honest with you? The
easiest way to do it is...
Who won the last 3 World Cups? And then take it from there.
I actually can't remember.
Right, okay.
Oh my goodness, this could be an all-time low on the teaser. Thanks to Aidan and Bathgate. If you want to email your question in and have it used on the show, it is fulltime@clyde1.com. Do you not even remember who won the last World Cup?
Spain?
No!
Oh, this is going to be so bad.
How can you not
remember? Argentina.
Thank you.
Right, so is Messi...
They've got a couple of well-known players.
Messi?
Yes. You heard of him?
Yeah.
Good. Right.
Are we going with Messi?
Lionel Messi scored against...
Whoever whispered in my ear, thank you very much.
Did one of the producers tell you that?
That was me.
No, it never told me Messi.
All right. Lionel Messi won the World Cup in 2022 and has scored against Celtic or Rangers. In fact, has he scored against both? I think he might have, but anyway. Okay.
Is that when... Is it Devlin at Hearts got the jersey?
Yes, Cammy Devlin got the Messi shirt, didn't he?
Right, yeah.
Let's leave it there. 1-5 to get. Let's hear from Danny Rule. He's been talking already about January and what this Rangers team needs.
The question is about we need the right players. That gives us the different skills at the moment. I think we have in some areas where we think, okay, we can accelerate our game, for example. It's not just about the physical speed, it's also the mindset. How quick is the mind at the moment? How quick you can receive the ball? How quick you can accelerate our game? I think we need players that have a natural aggressivity against the ball. This is also crucial for me. Yeah, and we need players. They also understand what it means to play for Rangers. I think this is also what I feel and learn the last weeks, step by step, which players can handle this environment, which players have to improve. I think I try to help them, give them a positive mindset. But it's about confidence, and confidence is important.
I think that's quite telling, Gordon, because something that we'll hear that on the show, the fans will say that sort of, we need somebody that knows what it takes to play for Rangers. But for him to say that he's gone in there and learned that suggests he knows that he doesn't have that at the moment.
I think it's very honest at this time of the season. He's right. It's got to be a big, big transfer window. But my biggest problem looking at that squad is he's got so many players, because he brought in what, the gutsy 13 in the summer, probably in decent contracts. I know there are a few loan players there as well. I think his biggest, hardest job for Rangers is getting rid of Deadwood. And let's face it, there's a few in there on decent money, and how you're going to get them out of the building has got to be very hard indeed. But he certainly needs...
They just need to do something though, don't they? I know what you're saying. You're being very practical. I don't need this level of practicality from you.
No.
We're almost talking in like Football Manager terms. This Rangers team's going to need to sign players, Marvin. It just is.
Yeah, and listen, like you said there, he's been very honest in terms of his press conference. You know, it sounds like he's talking about tempo on and off the ball. And we played Rangers recently, and we obviously know what happened within that game. But I can see what he means by it. You know, at times you almost expect him to click into another gear or two, and it didn't really happen. Obviously, you know, they've been winning games of football, but their supporters haven't been happy with the way that they've been going about the game. Like you said there, you know, I need players who understand what it means to play for Rangers Football Club. I think that, Gordon, that's a day in, day out thing. I think that's in terms of training levels. You know, players training to the top of their game, and then on a Saturday, things come easy to you. You know, if you hear a few things about, you know, some players not adhering to training at that level, and then there's no surprise on a Saturday, you know, when things start to go wrong, that they're unable to click into gear. So, yeah, he's probably been, his eyes have been opened by what he's seen. I like how honest he has been with it, but, you know, they're going to need to bring in players. And I get what Gordon's saying in balancing the books, but there's no doubt about it. Rangers have to bring in players to improve the squad.
Gary is a Rangers fan on the line. It's another disappointing weekend. Gary, how are you feeling about things?
Evening, James. How are you? Is all right?
Good, thanks.
Just listening to what Danny Rowe said and stuff like that. Unfortunately for him, Rangers actually had the players there. They actually had the goal scorers there, with Eggeman, Dessers and Tierney. So, I mean, even Eggeman, he's already scored, what is it, 5 goals and 1 assist for Lille. I think the next 2 games, Dundee United, Kilmarnock, is a must-win for Rangers to get these 6 points. The other games after that is Hibs, Hearts, Motherwell, St Mirren, Celtic, double header away Aberdeen. Going into the January sales, if that's 27 points, if we get 12 points out of that, I mean, we're looking at being in the bottom 6.
If I was Gary or if I was a Rangers fan, I would mute Iggeman's name on Twitter so that I don't need to see all the good goals he's scoring for Lille, because it would probably just depress you.
See, the big one for me in that, and I know it's easy to say, but we don't know the situation. Why they let Dessers go for the money they let him go for? He was a guaranteed 20 goals.
Did you see Andy Halliday's stat that he was so proud of he revealed on Sports Scene at the weekend?
No.
And the only reason I know, because I said it last night, he texted me about it in the afternoon. So
the three players...
Dessers, Chiggerman, I've combined the two. Dessers, Tierney and Iggeman.
Yeah.
63 goals between them last season.
Mm-hmm.
Replaced by Miovski, Chernmiti, Antman. 3 goals between them by December.
Danilo in that? Would they not count? I know. But
what are you on about?
But Danilo's the striker, isn't
he? No, but the three players were left and then 3 players were signed to replace them. So 63 between them last season. The 3 replacements are at 3. By the start of December.
But you look at the 3 recognised centre forwards for Rangers, can't score goals. They literally can't.
No, but
But the service,
they don't create enough. Yeah. They don't create anywhere near
100%.
Enough.
100%. The service into them is so limited. I mean, we're not talking about when Dest was there last season, we had people calling up the show saying he misses too many chances, this, that, and the other. Rangers aren't creating chances at all for these centre forwards. They're ultimately feeding off scraps, you know, and in between both boxes, they'll move the ball around. But when this comes to that final third, and you expect them to penetrate with passes and runs and whatever else, the strikers have got nothing to feed off. They don't get anything to be able to miss chances.
Well, that's got,
like I know not every I don't even necessarily love it myself. But if we're going to if we're judging all teams by the same thing, and we talk about XG, Rangers are mid-table. They create a mid-table number of chances, so you can't outperform that forever. If you create a mid-table number of quality chances, you'll finish mid-table.
Yeah.
Unless all of a sudden you start banging goals in from 30 yards left, right, and centre.
Well, here's a question: Does the manager now take a little bit of responsibility for that? With the style of football and the way he plays? Because let's face it, right? And you've said it on this programme that they've not got the worst squad in the league, right? So you look at, for instance, Motherwell, the way Motherwell play, the style of football, they've not got the squad and the budget Rangers have got. So
budget, though, that's the thing. Are these players actually that good value, in that sense?
Value for money, that's a fair
I think
point.
We're missing the big thing. I think when you play for Rangers, there's a massive pressure attached to it. I think when you're at Motherwell or anyone else playing that way, it's totally different. I think that's some of those players are dealing or struggling with the pressure that comes with playing for that football team. And like I said, the manager's responsibility is to give players the freedom in the final third. They get to the final third, no bother at all. But that last little bit when you need to beat your man, you need to put a good quality ball in, they're really struggling with that at the moment.
Where do you think that the blame lies, Gary? Are these players not good enough? Does Danny Rule need to do something extra to make them more creative? Why are they creating so little?
I'm not too sure. I'm not going to blame the manager whatsoever. It just seems to be the same thing. Like it's been going on for a long, long time. Even before Russell Martin, it just seems to be so flat, so boring. No creativity at all. There's nothing coming from. I just think that, like I said before, they three players brought something to the team where there was creativity. It was like attacking football, there was goals, there was excitement, the fans, there was something, you could see something happening, but with this, it's just so defensive, so pass back, there's nothing at all.
Yeah, because see on that we spoke about the chance creation, I think the numbers I saw, they're creating about half the number of chances that they were last season, so... But by the way, that's not to say the strikers can't play a part in that. They can help create, you know. So I'm not saying that it's all stylistic and they're not to blame. But if you are, you know, comparing Dessers for Miowski or whatever, Dessers was playing in a team that created double the chances that this team creates. So that's a problem.
Yeah, no, it definitely is a problem, Gordon. And as you said, you know, a lot of those chances Dessers did create as well came off his own back. But no, I totally agree with you. You know, the service into the front players isn't good enough. You know, they need something in that final third, and people speaking about them defensively, etc., etc. I think, you know, the manager will be looking at bringing in players at the top end of the pitch, the real game winners for them, because even when we went there and played against them, I think they had two or three shots on target. You know, it's very, very rare you go to Ibrox being a team like Livingston.
When you say the top end of the pitch, you talk about wide players.
Yeah, wide players. I think they need wide players to help them.
But they brought in wide players, so you're saying they're not good enough.
I'm saying they've not done enough.
For instance, I think the Rangers fans would probably say they quite like him.
And he was in and out though, wasn't he? Because of the wing back.
Even
and everything
he's
else.
Probably now though at a level where
he's fallen off a little bit.
Is it unfair to say best of a bad bunch?
Yeah, Antman came in his first game. Everybody thought this is
right, so he's been really poor.
Oh,
and now
terrible.
Today, an injury update from Danny Rule on Oliver Antman. Let's hear that. This is what the Rangers head coach had to say.
New injury. Ollie is out for minimum 8 weeks. Big injury. He has in the past also an injury, I think, and with the muscle, the adaptation, is this the right word?
I think so, yeah. Adapter.
Yeah, and now, yeah, it's also, and I was a little bit surprised because I didn't sub him about this. I subbed him then because I want to bring fresh legs in. He felt something, but he didn't fall, that is so serious. And now, yeah, he had his scan yesterday, and yeah, we were very surprised that it's so big.
So, again, because of his form, I don't think Rangers fans will be devastated by that, with no disrespect to him. And maybe it frees up more opportunity for Finlay Curtis or someone that they've been wanting to see. That said, it's still another body that you know, you kind of might need at some point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. I do agree with you. I don't think there's Rangers fans sitting there now thinking, oh, that's an absolute disaster, because apart from his first game, he's offered nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, you just can't single one player out, because the rest of the team for me isn't functioning right. I know that a lot of the spotlight goes on the back men for me. I think they give you up chances. Obviously, there's a couple of missing with Suter and Cornelius, obviously out injured, but I still think that back four will give you up chances. They're not scoring goals, they're not creating. The wide players aren't playing to their capabilities. That's why January is so, so important. But I keep going back to it. If you look at the amount of players and the wages they must be spending, do you just keep throwing money at this?
I think right now they'll have to, won't they? That's just the way it's going to be. Thank you to Gary on the line. How about you two on the teaser? Who are the last six players to have won one of the previous three men's World Cups and they've scored against Celtic or Rangers? So Messi is one of them.
Mbappe
is another.
Right. So Spain's the other team, isn't it? Country. Must be.
Was Di Maria in that?
And Di Maria. You're halfway there. We'll get the rest when we return.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas on Clyde One with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Proud to support the local community.
This is an incredible opportunity, this, to do your bit, do good, try and help the children in our local area, and perhaps drive away in your very own brand new car. There is a JQ5 up for grabs. Gordon Dale's been down to see it. Absolutely loved it, so much so he's thinking about buying one, and it could be yours simply by sending a text message. Text the word CAR to 84901. That's CAR to 84901. You donate £5 to Cash for Kids and then you're in the draw for the car. It's worth tens and tens of thousands of pounds, this. You're giving your fiver to charity, you feel good about yourself, you've managed to make a difference, and you get the brand new car. What a win-win situation. So make sure you get involved, because the lines close on Saturday the 13th December this year, of course, 6 p.m, and we'll announce the winner on the Monday night. It's over 18s only. You can cancel your donation and remain entered by replying cancel within 60 minutes. All the rules are at clyde1.com. But for now, get involved. Text CAR to 84901. And as always, a massive thanks to our friends at Arnold Clark.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Marvin Bartley and Gordon Dale are here. There is still time to get a call in, but you'll need to be quick. 01419511025. Speaking of which, what a call we received during the break. So Tom phoned in. You know, on Beat the Pundit at the moment, we're doing £10 to Cash for Kids for every correct answer that the contestant gets right. Well, Tom wants to put a tenner in every time the pundits get the right answer and backdate it to the start of the month, which was yesterday, of course. But wants to.
That's very nice of Tom.
So a bit of pressure on you guys then, going forward. Yeah, really good, really generous stuff from Tom out there. And there's loads of people doing good things to help us out in Cash for Kids. I mentioned about trying to win the car before the break. Big thank you to Ayr United Football Club. They're going to take donations for the game against St Johnston Friday the 12th. So look out for the buckets. There's a QR code in the programme. Another big mention to Wolf Tuna Running and Cold Water Club. They've got a 24-day Advent calendar challenge. They're posting daily fitness challenges on their socials. All the money raised going to Cash for Kids as well. So whatever you're doing, give us a shout, let us know. Whatever you're doing to help Cash for Kids, we'd love to give you a mention and support you along the way. It could be Christmas Jumper Day, Santa Dash, sacrificing your secret Santa gifts, whatever. Let us know and we'd be happy to give you a mention. Right, on your teaser, we're looking for the last six players who've won one of the previous three men's World Cups.
So Argentina, and they've France scored, and Germany.
They've scored a competitive goal against Celtic or Rangers. You've got Messi, Di Maria, Mbappe,
the lad from Bayern Munich, wide player, Coleman?
Kingsley Coleman. Was not in the France squad in 2018.
Good shout, Daz.
That's not a terrible answer. No. It's not a terrible answer, but it's not right. It's just not terrible.
Well, who scored for Bayern Munich?
I'll tell you what, it's better than Mississippi.
Mississippi was the best answer of the season.
Muller. He's pronouncing it Mississippi, really annoying.
And that's what was confusing me.
What, Mississippi?
Did you say?
Yeah, Muller.
Tam Muller.
Because Germany won.
Thomas.
Yeah.
Yes, he's on it. Who is now.
I'm carrying you.
Who's mate. Who does he now play alongside?
He's Ryan Gould, doesn't
Ryan
he?
Ryan Gould.
I saw a video the other
seen
day.
The video of him?
Who does?
Thomas Muller.
Yeah. In Mississippi.
Is he left? Mississippi. I didn't even know he'd left by
Vancouver.
Him, is he? Look, I'm not big in the German football. I had enough when I was there in the Euros.
Or Canadian football, by the looks of it. Right, we've got a couple more to get, so we can get them before the end. Thanks again to Aidan and Bathgate for sending that in to fulltime@clyde1.com. Is there anything else we need to get to? We did speak about Rangers a bit before the break. Let's hear finally from Danny Rule on that league table at the moment.
This is exactly the point. After a draw from the weekend, we feel we are now far away, and we drop back and think, oh, no chance. And on the other side, it's just 7 and 9 points, and with results you can close the gap. And this result is about consistently, that's what I told after the game. It's about consistently take points, and if we take from the next 5 games again 13 points, then I think we are in a good way, and this should be to get the goal.
I can see why he's focused on that just now, because that last section there, that is a good, that's a fine points tally. In fact, Rangers would still be at the top of the form table, wouldn't they, if you were talking like last six or whatever. It won't feel like that to the Rangers fans. And Andy Halliday was talking last week about, yeah, it's fine winning, but that performance level isn't sustainable, and that proved to be the case at the weekend. They definitely try and stay in touch, it feels like, because we know that Europe's now done. Would we agree?
Yeah,
obviously the League Cup ended, but that I feel like the immediate aftermath of that got overshadowed a bit because of the refereeing debates and so on. If the league really gets away from Rangers anytime soon, I know we talk about rebuilds in the future, there's going to be a long, long end to the season.
Yeah, I'm listening to his interview there about, you know, the next, what, 5-6 games. But I've got to say, their performance at the weekend was dreadful. Really dreadful. They didn't lay a glove in Falkirk. You were expecting Rangers at home, and I know Falkirk have been absolutely brilliant, and all credit in the world to them, but at least create chances.
I can't believe the show's over already. So we're looking for another 2 players who've won one of the previous 3 men's World Cups and have scored against Celtic or Rangers. You've got Messi, Di Maria, Mbappe, Muller. We need a Frenchman.
Piqué.
He's Spanish.
Dortmund, Hummels.
Yes, Mats Hummels did. Yep,
and Frenchman.
He's a Frenchman. Atletico Madrid when they battered Celtic a couple of seasons ago.
Position.
It kind of plays everywhere. This guy. That's what's good about
Griezmann.
Yeah.
Oh. I got it before you.
Some teamwork that is. Thank you very much, Antoine Griezmann, the final answer. Thank you to Marvin and to Gordon, as always, by a mile. The biggest thanks goes to you for listening and calling and tweeting and engaging in whatever way you do. If you are still for some reason enjoying watching these two at their work on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. You can get your podcast wherever you get your podcasts if you just caught the end of the show perhaps. But back tomorrow, big night in the Premiership. Be here, 6 o'clock.